I'm going to ask you to do some thinking today. How do we renew our minds? Go ahead. There's the poster child for obsessive compulsive behavior. Anybody remember Adrian Monk, old Tony Shalhoub? He did an excellent job portraying somebody that was obsessive compulsive. Do we have that problem with our spirituality? Because the thing is, obsessive compulsive people are trying to be P-E-R-F-E-C-T. Perfect. But we're not perfect. We're mature, we're complete in Jesus Christ, but that's because I'm in Christ. And the problem with people that want to try to be perfect or a perfectionist is, it's they're not perfect. That's a problem for all of us. Go ahead. So, we can't be perfect. But here's the thing, we still can lead renewed lives. And that's what I'm talking about today. We need to strive to think and to live the way that God wants us to think and live. And this leads us there to Romans, the 12th chapter. This is the jumping off point for what we have. You're saying, well, hold it. Scripture reading was Colossians, the 3rd chapter. Yes. But your Bible is designed to where everything fits together. Think about that. David, back in Psalm 119, says the sum or the entirety of your word is truth in Psalm 119, 160. So the idea is if we want to focus on what we need to do, what we need to think on, we're going to have to put the pieces together. I'm going to try to do this morning for you. I want us to think about this. Paul says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but here's the key, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Transformed by the renewing of your mind. You all are Greek scholars, by the way. You know that. You know the word for transformed. What is it? Well, what happens when a butterfly turns from one of those ugly little caterpillars into a butterfly? What do they call that? Metamorphosis. That's the word. See, you're a step ahead of me today. Transformed. Metamorphosis. Okay? See, you say, I don't know anything about languages. Well, you do know that one, don't you? It means changed, and changed in a good way, doesn't it? How do we change ourselves in a good way? Go ahead. See, this idea about we want to live a repentant lifestyle. We all realize, and we talked about that in the adult class, the idea that I need to trust in the Lord with all my heart and lean not on my own understanding. See, I made it personal now, not your, but my. In all my ways, acknowledging Him so that He would direct my steps. I changed the yours to my in that quote. Why? Because we need to take it personally. We need to understand, how do we live changed lives? Our thinking needs to change. That's the key. Go ahead. Well, what is renewing our minds? Well, first, let me clear out everything that we'd be thinking about on this, okay? There's some things that people say, well, this is what we need to do. Anthony Robbins, old Tony Robbins, that tall drink of water, motivational speaker, he might think that it come down to teaching about positive thinking, the power of positive thoughts and all this other thing, okay? That may be good, but just being positive about things doesn't change behavior. Think about that. I can be positive about being here. Hey, it's good being with you, brethren. Appreciate it. Really appreciate the worship service today. This has been encouraging to us. You're smiling still. I haven't stepped on any toes yet, right? No, the thing about it is, it's good to be positive, but does that really change my life? Because just being positive, sometimes I have to change. The biblical word for change is repentance for a Christian, right? Change of mind, change of heart, change of attitude, change of action, change of life. Change, 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 change. That leaves it out. There's another thing, too. This goes back to the 70s. Remember, Eastern religions, transcendental meditation, you know, all that stuff. It's like, hold it for a second, okay? Trying to get patched into something, into a higher power type of thing. Well, in a way, prayer's like that. But it's us saying, Lord, your will be done. Prayer's an exercise of faith. It's asking God and realizing that God will take care of us. That's interesting. But it's not that. Also, hypnosis. I got to be honest with you. Subliminal education was really big with me. I thought, man, if there was just a way to make my memory go better. And so what I did was, this shows you how dumb I was when I was a kid. I was a dumb kid. I got a tape recorder. Tape recorders were not small. Nowadays, they're real small. Okay? Matter of fact, you could sleep with an MP3 player. You just put the pods in your ears, crank that thing up, you're going to town, right? I actually put a full, well, it wasn't a full size. It was a pretty good size. It wasn't a boombox size, but it was a tape recorder. I put that under my pillow and cranked that thing up. And Lynn will tell you, I'm a sound sleeper. I don't remember a thing except that I woke up with a crick in my neck because I put that tape recorder under my pillow. I thought, boy, subliminal education. Boy, I'll become a genius overnight. No, didn't work. What we're talking about today is not subconscious either. It's not developing new patterns of thinking. It's basically you and me thinking about the things that we need to do and doing them. And that's the key. Go ahead. So what then is mind renewal? Go ahead. Paul states for each and every one of us, it's a continuous changing of our lifestyle. If you read the screen there, this is the conclusion that Paul reaches in Colossians, the third chapter. He says we're supposed to be seeking Christ, setting our mind on things above. Christ is our life. That's what that first paragraph says in the first four verses. And then verses 5 through 8, it says that there has to be a conscious putting off of the things that we know that aren't right with my life. This is not like New Year's resolutions. We decide, okay, look, I'm not going to do what God says I shouldn't be doing. It's interesting that Paul gets so specific there, he equates greed with idolatry. Would we really think about it from that perspective? Had he not said that? And then in Colossians 3, 9 and 10, do not lie to one another since you put off the old man with his deeds and put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Paul says it a little bit differently in Ephesians the 4th chapter. It's interesting. These two books are parallel, probably written within a year or two of each other. Colossians probably came out around 60 AD. Paul was in prison then in Rome, by the way. And Ephesians a little bit later. In Ephesians, the 4th chapter, verses 22 and 23, that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That's an interesting phrase, the spirit of your mind. How we think determines how we live. But you have to connect the two to have renewal of mind, spirit, life. That's the key there. So Paul's talking about a continuous changing lifestyle there. Okay, what does it involve? Five things, the lesson's yours. You got to think like Christ. There has to be a conscious imitation of the actions and attitudes of Christ. There in Philippians 2, verse 5, have this what? Mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. In the following verses, there it has an interesting analogy. Let me sum it up in one phrase: the way up is down. Jesus took off everything that could have been honor and glory to him when he came to earth, took on flesh, took on the form of a bondservant. We remember that when he took the Lord's Supper. He died for you and me. I needed that. He died the death we couldn't die because he lived the life we couldn't live. And God loves us. We understand that because of Jesus. And Paul says to brethren that need to grow and be mature, have this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. There's a reason why Paul can say to the brethren later on in 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, verse 1, be imitators. If you imitate somebody, what are you doing? You're copying them, or what's the other word that begins with M? You mimic. See, you know more Greek. Mimeo is the word there. That's where you get mimic from. Okay? You copy them. Okay? Paul says, you copy me. You follow what I'm doing as long as I'm following Jesus Christ. Isn't that interesting? So, first off, we need to think like Christ. If we're going to think like Christ, I want to be in this book. I want to do the things that God wants me to do. I want to copy out what Christ wants for my life. Next, you need to be thinking about God. Psalm 89:15. Blessed are the people who know the joyful sound. They walk, O Lord, in the light of your countenance. Interesting. In Isaiah 26:3. This is a victory chapter, by the way. Isaiah is talking gloom and doom throughout the first part of Isaiah. In Isaiah 26, he says, God's people will have victory. And here's one reason why. In verse 3, you will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. Stayed means grip and do not let go. Any guys work with weights? I'll tell you something, okay? You grip, and when you're bringing it down, you don't let go of it. You don't let go of it until it's back up on the stand there, right? Grip and do not let go. That's what my dad used to do when I was bad. Grip and did not let go. I still have the marks. No, it's like, hold it for a second. Our peace comes from the fact we're holding on to God. I like that. But you have to think about God to do it. A steadfast, trained way of thinking about God, actively thinking about practicing his will. That's what we need to do. So we need to think about God. Go ahead. Thirdly, we need to control our mindset. The contrast between life in the flesh and life in the spirit. There's only two ways to live. You depend upon yourself, or through God's spirit, you follow God. You do his will. This is not Eastern mysticism. Walking according to the Spirit means I'm going to let God's Spirit show me through his word what I need to do. And then God directs my life. Remember our scripture reading this morning for Proverbs, the 3rd chapter, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Walking according to the flesh, how I perceive life. I'm going to live life my way. Remember that hit song that Paul Anka wrote for Frank Sinatra, I did it what? My way. Not if you're a Christian. You do it God's way. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Okay? We control our mindset. We focus on Christ. We want to honor God. We say, okay, look, I have to control my thinking. I've got to think the way that God wants me to think. In Colossians, the 3rd chapter and verse 2 there, set your mind on what? Things above, not on things below. In Philippians 4 and 8 and 9, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, noble, just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, whatever things or if there is any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Excuse me for a second. I'll get my reading glasses situated here. The things which you learned and received and heard and seen in me. If we ever get to talk with you again, we're going to talk about example, because example is how you learn these things, okay? You learn them from each other because you want to learn them from Christ, okay? This Paul says, the things you learned, received, heard, and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. That's too simplistic. But that's the mental garbage can for a Christian. Think about that. If you think about what's pure, what do you have to get rid of? What's impure? What about whatever things are noble? The things that aren't noble, you got to get rid of. Things that are just, you get rid of what's unjust. And so on down the line. We have to consciously control what we think. That's the third key in that. Go ahead. Fourthly, you dwell on God's word. In Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. And then it says, okay, we teach, we admonish one another with what? Psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. Grateful for that. Grateful for the singing today. That's good. That's how we teach and admonish one another. What we sing and how we sing is important, because that reinforces our thinking on things spiritual. So we need to dwell on God's word. From Psalm, the first chapter there, the first Psalm. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. And then, of course, in one of my favorite sections of Psalm 119, your word have I hidden. The word is literally treasured. But back in those days, they didn't have safety deposit boxes. You couldn't go to the bank and put something in there and saying it's secure, right? No, I'm sorry, no banks back then, but that's the way it worked. No, your word have I hidden in my heart that I may not sin against you. These are important things. This is the key. It's dwelling on God's word. Finally, choosing good companions. In 1 Corinthians 15:33, quoting from Proverbs there, evil company corrupts good habits. You have to be careful about who you're around. I remember when I was working as a night watchman in New Jersey, we were right across from the Philadelphia airport. And the job site, they had a lot of heavy equipment there, construction stuff, basically putting up a metal building. They had a couple welding rigs, you know, a TIG rig, the whole thing. And I had to be there as a night watchman. Otherwise, that stuff tended to get grabbed and sprout legs of its own. Thing about it was, I had, in the morning there, iron workers would come. And those guys are interesting a lot. They have sort of a surly language all their own that I would not repeat in any company at all. But it's interesting. I had to watch that, because I had to consciously decide, look, this is not for me. Because my biggest problem before I became a Christian, I had a foul mouth. A real foul mouth. And I really had to watch that. I still have to watch that. I brushed, I floss. No, I have to be careful about what I say. And you do too. You got to be careful about what you think about. So just be careful that you influence the environment that you are in, not the other way around. So those are the 5 points. Those are the keys. All right. So how do we keep this thing going? Okay, let's say, all right, I'm going to think like Christ. I'm going to focus on God. I'm going to consciously try to control my mindset. I'm going to dwell on God's word, and I'm going to stay around good people, or at least be careful about what influences me. Well, 3 keys here before we leave today, and these will help you. Number one, a busy... How many are busy? No, how many aren't busy? I want to see you. I got some things for you. No. No! We're all busy. Me, oh my, we have so much stuff to do. It's not an... What does the song say? Take time to be holy. Speak off with the Lord. Abide with him always. Yeah, these are things. You know, we sing about that, but that's not wishful thinking. That needs to be good living. Take time for God. The reason why you study your Bible every day is I want to be like Jesus. I want to understand God's will for my life. I need to live it. I need to practice it. Just like we talked about this morning, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. See, you could stick on Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 for a long time. Just keep practicing that. There's a lot of things we could be practicing, but we don't. We get too busy about that. The second point, and this is a real killer for us sometimes, is the fact that we tend to be negative about things. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I don't think Paul could snatch 425 pounds, but what he could do was he could withstand persecution that we probably wouldn't even imagine. He did everything that God wanted him to do. The all things through Christ Jesus was everything that God wanted him to do. You go out there this week and do everything that God wants you to do. Why? Because my Bible says you can. 1 John 4:4, you're of God, little children, and have overcome them. Because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Even all the Antichrist back there. Antichrist, really? That just means against Christ. Were there people that didn't like New Testament Christians back in the first century? Answer, yes. Are there people today in our post-Christian society that are going to be upset with some of the things that you believe, some of the things that you practice, some of the things that you say? Definitely. Don't worry about that. God's already won it. I keep telling my brethren, you know, we went through the book of Revelation up there in Sealands Grove a while back. I keep telling you, guys, you just need to remember, what is it, Super Bowl, was it 41 or 44? It's 44. You know the key to Super Bowl 44? The Saints won. Ah, come on, Bill. It's like, no, the Saints won. They won the game. We win the battle through Christ. That's the key. 1 John 5:5. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? So you're going to practice those five things, but be careful. It's going to take time to do it. Leave time for that. Number two, understand that you've already won the battle. You just have to keep fighting for the Lord. Okay? And number three, watch out for the old world. Let me leave you with this in 1 John 2:15 through 17. Do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that's in the world, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world, and the world is passing away in the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Conclusion, it's your choice. I can't force you to do this. This is the strange thing about preaching. You say everything you said, and then guess what? It's up to you. I can't force you to do this. I can't force you to change your thinking. Oh, I could get a couple guys with some automatic weapons and secure the perimeter here and say, you're not leaving this building until you sign a resolution or do this or do that. But when you leave the building, when the guns are gone, guess what? It's still up to you, isn't it? It's your choice. I therefore, by the mercies of God, beseech you that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that which is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Brethren, keep on keeping on. It's a thinking thing. Focus on Christ. Honor God. Make sure you're working on that mindset all the time. I want to do God's will. WWJD, what would Jesus do? Make sure you dwell on that word and be careful about your companions. Right now, there's been a song selected for invitation, right? Now, Jesus died for our sins. And because of that, he beckons us to believe in him. It's faith-based. By faith, I realize I haven't done what's right. And I need to follow God. By faith, I want to repent of my sins. Change your thinking. Change your heart. Change your attitude. Change your life. What I do is going to be different. That's really what we talked about today in Colossians, the third chapter, verses 5 through 8. God wants us to change. Put off the old. Put on the new. What does that mean? I confess Christ as Lord, according to Romans 10, 9, and 10. Jesus is going to be the master. He calls the shots right now. And in doing that, he beckons us to come to him, to be united with him in baptism, to be united in his death, buried with Christ in baptism through death, in order that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, even so we too should walk in newness of life. And there, that beautiful little verse after everything's said and done, Romans 6:11. Therefore, consider yourself to be dead to sin, but alive to God through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You can do that today. And if you've been having problems with your walk, we got a whole bunch of people here who want to pray with you. God wants to help you. Forgiveness is always there at the foot of the cross. But it's up to you. It's your choice as we stand and sing.